Good evening, everyone. This is Veronica. I'm sorry I had a few technical problems here and I couldn't hear Doug. But here I am. Now I can hear you because you're going to call in, right? This is Veronica Entwistle saying, here we are, ready to talk on Radiance by Design. And I was just doing some work with channeling for Bob, but Bob was also channeling. And we were talking, the guides were saying how interesting it is that this is the time in which, you know, there's so many situations that are really up against life, are there not? And you and I know that it all can change in a heartbeat. But they were being very, very clear. I have to shut the door. There's a lot of traffic around here. They were being very, very clear that what's going on is kind of a battle. But the battle, as we've heard over and over again, is always within ourselves, is it not? You know, if you go back into the Bhagavad Gita or any of these, we have learned over and over, no matter what healing or spiritual system you've tapped for information, it always reverts back to us dealing with ourselves deep down inside to deal with things like jealousy, competition, different ways of beating each other up, greed, you know, all that sort of thing, right? And so they were talking about that, and I see that I have a caller. Good. Just hold on, Miss Caller, because I'm just going to finish some thoughts here. And they're saying the reminder here is that whether humanity leaves in masses, which we've heard could happen, or not, I know, I heard that I have a caller. Thank you. And I asked her if she'd wait a little bit. Thank you. And so what I just want to say is whether the guides are saying whether or not masses of us leave the planet for reasons of sustainability or too much war or greed or domination or starvation, whatever it is all of that journeying that we've done to become more and more and to raise our fields and frequency and to learn about ascension and to lift our frequency beyond what the third dimension is, and to really help yourself refine and find that is what goes with you. And as souls, we meet up and we connect over things that we have already learned to do. And what they were saying to us is just because you had a huge failure or something that some people have had in other lives which created the downfall of huge groups of people, that doesn't mean a failure, and it's our job to go in, discover those things, and move way past it, because it's easier to move past it if you can, within yourself, gather the fruits or make the gains of what happened, you see? And that's the thing that we all connect with. And as Bob was saying, is that connecting with our paradigm shifters is one way that we have found many, many, many other beings who are pushing the envelope, no matter how many power structures they've been defeated by through many, many lifetimes. They're coming up with their intriguing senses of evolution, of touching their own dharma, of learning the healing, and moving one another beyond the traps of greed and corruption, dominance, war, GMOs, you know, all the stuff that we keep hearing about. Drop into yourself, and we're going to do some of this in our structures in a few minutes. Drop into yourself and look for those pieces of life, the things that scare you, the things that keep you daunted, and really move it, because what you've got that's got dharma, that you've got that's got purpose, that has brilliance and wisdom, and you all have some of that, has to come up and share. And once again, it doesn't matter only if you live. All right, so let's talk to our callers. Patty on line one. Hello, Patty. Hi.
Hi, Veronica.
How are you, darling?
Yeah, I'm okay. It was interesting hearing what you just had to say, because I've been going through, I feel like, a very intensified past 5 months, and it's been really, really intense with a lot of these repressed emotions. I'm assuming they're repressed, that I haven't experienced to this degree, full force and head on.
You mean to tell me that you're actually experiencing them now after having them suppressed?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm asking you, you know, what is this? If you can see where I am in my journey, what is happening right now?
Well, I just want you to fill in some of the questions so I don't spend the whole time looking. But one of the things I see is in your belly area, which you know as well as I do, is your karma, everything left over. And we talked
right.
a lot about soul journeys and how you don't ever lose, even if you die, you don't ever lose from all you've gathered in your soul journey. You have a bunch of quickening going on in there, as if there's an anger coming up on you, a foot stomping. And like, I'm not putting up with this, suppression is what we're calling it so far, any longer. I got something to do. Now I want you to fill in some of the details, because it's a pretty vital and dynamic thing that's going on in your subconscious, superconscious, cellular conscious. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. It's like an acceleration.
Yeah.
I'm in an acceleration zone, and it's like I feel I'm in an incubation period of solitude at this point, and feeling the most intense loneliness that I could never imagine having ever experienced before on this planet.
But
ever.
Sweetie, it's not because of just being alone. It's a really deep.
Yes.
It's almost like a rising of a suppressed isolation that doesn't know what to, we'll put it simplistically, hitch up with, doesn't know how to hook up or align with because
uh-huh.
of, and I want to say it's a lot of past lives. It's a lot of ways in which your belief structure has been set up by things that were erroneous or deceived you. And
yes.
there's this feeling of I pull myself away, but oh my God, it's deep and it's vaulted
yes.
and it hurts, right?
Yes.
But it's not about, Patty, it's not about being unworthy. I know you know that, but I have to say it out loud.
Yeah, I know. So I thank you so much for that. That is so, I so needed to hear that. I can't begin to tell you.
Oh, well, you're a wonderful spirit, and I just want to say in cahoots with what we were already talking about, you have, it's like a breakthrough coming up, almost like the tethers. For example, if that loneliness comes from a whole bunch of ways in which you deceived yourself by being hitched up with or involved in things that didn't work, not necessarily in this life, but that too, it's like you're going to rise as if you go, oh, that was just learning. Oh, that was just learning. Here I come, ready or not. Okay, I'm ready, and I'm funnier, and I'm livelier, and I'm ready to play, and here we go. That's going to come up in you in a little while.
In a little while, huh?
Yeah, it's not a long way away, but you know something? I think that that's what's going to happen with a lot of people because circumstances...
I do.
And circumstances on the planet are very vibrant and a little bit wild. And I think that what happens is you pop up and there is, you're single, aren't you? Because I don't know if it's about relationships.
Yes, my husband passed, yeah. And I'm grieving, I think I'm grieving. I think that, at least that's what I'm using that as a part of what I've been experiencing.
But here's what I'm seeing, okay? I'll just finish that one vision that was coming around me there, was that you're going to find yourself connecting with some really interesting sparks of people who are also being propelled by a similar thing, almost like, yes, I can almost hear somebody saying to you, you know, I feel like I'm popping out of some kind of sludge.
Wow.
And, there's a number of you, and maybe not together every moment. That's why I say I don't know if it's about a relationship. I think it's about a sense of community rising. And I think it's rising quickly because the reality, the subjective reality or humanity needs to awaken in pods and groups, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
Because we need the power and the strength, you know? Like, I don't know where you are with politics, but there's some people like Elizabeth Warren. I go, she needs a community around her. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's sort of what's happening to you. And hey, honey, your husband is pushing you. He also... He's also involved in some kind of group. When did he pass?
It's been almost 4 years, but I've also had a relationship since then, and I've lost that relationship, not to death, but it feels worse than that because it feels as if the love had been removed. So, you know, it's brought up a lot of those ancient feelings, past life feelings, this life feelings that... I guess I'm to experience those transmutations.
Well, and you are, and I can't really get it linearly, like trying to explain all these bits and pieces, but what I see is your husband, who's got his, not his back to you, but it's like he's involved in a group of beings, so it's not like I'm reacting just to you. He's got involved in a group of beings where he is learning a lot, and I've got this very serious feeling in my face, almost like they're really working and dedicated to creating a wave of change as well. So you're clearing stuff, and this fellow that came in, it's like we get involved with somebody, pull it apart, and then the stuffings come out, and we get a chance to feel the stuffings. In your case, it's a kind of the dearth of connection that leaves you over the void, and up through that void comes the permission to be new. And it's not an easy passage. It's a very difficult passage, but your husband's working on his own version of it over there, and he's very active right now. And was he very intellectual?
I wouldn't consider him intellectual, but yeah, actually he was, and he was a very complex, incredible being.
You miss him, huh?
Well, I do miss him.
Well, I see him as someone who's deep, and he's also sentimental, but what he cares about is, you said complex, I would say he cares about the complexities of, we'll call it reality or three-dimensional reality or the systems of humanity and life on the planet or something. He cares about some big changes that are going on. And he's working with a group of beings. He's not leading it. They're having like seminars or something so they can create the waves it takes to support people here, you see. Do you understand?
Right. I do.
And he's very serious about it, darling.
Okay. That's very awesome.
And so you can talk to him, not in a clinging way of, please come and talk to me. It's not like that. It's like, all right, show me what you're doing. I'm up for that. Show me.
Okay. Okay.
And I feel like he's nudging you and he's pushing you because you've got something to do. And,
okay.
And that, do you work?
I'm really kind of debilitated at this point. I'm going to be out and about soon. I'm just starting to feel like I'm coming alive a little more now.
Oh, good. Okay, well, don't rush, but you're going to be moving and grooving in a while. There's a meeting or something that's going to come up. When you hear about it, just go.
A meeting?
Yeah, there's some kind of a meeting that you're going to go to. I don't know what it is, but it looks like it might be some kind of... Do you live in a smallish town?
Yeah, I do. No, not actually. Sarasota, Florida is growing. It's not small.
But it has little segments of small town, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, because there's something like a community meeting coming up that's got a spiritual tone to it. Just go. You know, if it's boring, go home, but go to the next one, because there's something perking and it's going to come up through you as well. And I feel like you're going to laugh and move through it with people, but it's going to make sense of a lot of what you're going through right now. So you might be disabled by being so deeply left. Is that what the disability really is? Is that inner pain?
What did you say? Yes, yes. This is exactly what it is. Yeah, it really brought me to my knees in a lot of ways.
Yeah. You mean when your husband died or when the man left you?
Pardon me?
Which one, when the husband died or when the second man left you?
No, when my husband died, it's like I didn't have time to really grieve him. I never had the time. And then I was kept busy, you know, mentally, emotionally. My life was busy with other things going on still. And it just happened in February when this other friend of mine left me, and he was like what some would call a twin flame.
Oh, wow.
Or what have you. Yeah. And it really, really brought up some of the deepest emotions. I mean, every emotion you can absolutely imagine I have experienced. In fact, I don't know of an emotion I haven't. In such a profound, deep, deep, deep way.
I love that for you. You know why? Because this is the school of hard knocks for your belly. And like I said, they pull apart. Twin flame and soul flame are really, really difficult for most people.
Yeah.
You know, people say, my soulmate. I go, I don't think so.
Yeah, I know.
Unless you're prepared to go right through. Because what he did do was pulled away the ways you're attached to aspects of your identity, the way you're going to put your life together. It's gone, 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 gone. It has to come up out of you, and you know that already.
Yes.
And I have to say goodbye, but I love this call. It was a wonderfully courageous call, and I'm excited.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Veronica. You're awesome.
You are too, and I just want to give you a big hug and say, you go, girl, and let's see each other on the cutting edge of change.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to call in so I can listen to the rest of your show.
Good girl.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Wow, that was a call, especially since the guides are really pushing this, that, you know, we're going to really amp up now. Now, I think Leah's there on line two, or is it Aaliyah? I don't know which one. Hello? Hello?
Are you
hiding on us, Aaliyah?
Can you hear me?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I just had it on mute in case there was a bleed through with the sound.
Well, how are you, darling?
I'm doing really good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm getting intimations of freedom, starting to feel like, maybe I can do other things now. I feel like I've been in lockdown mode for a long time.
I know. How long? It's been a long, long time, hasn't it?
Oh, very long. You know, a long time. I counted from 2000, so we're talking about 15 years.
Well, you know, I don't know if you listened to Patty just before you, but there's something happening, and there's a rising, kind of a bubbling frequency coming up through people, and that's going to happen in her in a little while, but you've got it going on in you. It's not bubbling effervescent yet. It's just starting to pulse in a bright, kind of a bubbly light that's coming on up, and I'm going, wow, what's happening out there with people? It's great.
I love that vision, because that's kind of how I feel. It's like, now we get to go back into life, like we've been sort of in incubation for a long time. By the way, Patty's a friend of mine. I finally got her to call in. So.
Oh, well, she was marvelous. Really... Thank you for that. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a marvelous soul, which you are too,
right? She is. Well, I know with Patty there is a very, very strong core. And what might appear on the surface is not what I see. I see what's underneath. So, yeah.
What's interesting is that. Beg your pardon?
She's baking.
But what's really interesting is that really empty place is really important for all of us to go into, and it's not funny. Grief, what was I reading the other day? Something about, I talked to so many amazing paradigm shifters, as you know. And someone was discussing grief, and I find grief, I always say this, it's the reason we do it. It's the reason we write the book, dance the dance, any of the huge things that we want to do in the world come from a response to that. And she looks like hers is a scouring kind of grief, and it's really important. It's a very, very powerful tool. She's a powerful woman.
Yes, very powerful. And understanding the emotions and the depth of emotions and why we have them, and to me, it's one of the core things that I've learned. And, you know, not shying away. She doesn't shy away from her emotions. I think that's amazing.
That's very courageous. I want to ask you something. You're really big into the archetypes and all that, aren't you?
Yeah.
or you used to be. I'm not sure how you've but anyway.
Well, I'm having to explore them from my tarot book, but yeah.
Okay. So what do you think is going on the planet right now as far as archetypal domination or leadership?
Wow, I love this conversation. What a great conversation. For me, it seems to me that there is this, we'll get at the biggest archetype of all, the G-O-D word. And that's the archetype of a wholeness. It's basically the concept of wholeness, of being, of oneness. And I think that this experience of being on Earth is this reunification with the sense of wholeness that we can come to after we've done the journey into separation. Because if you take like the fool.
Yeah, but wait a minute. So if you think about that, you go, okay, the journey into separation could be thousands and thousands of lifetimes, could it not?
Right. But that's what happens with spirit, because spirit's making sort of like this descent into this very dense reality where it forgets the wholeness that it really is. And it gets lost in individuation and separation.
And do you think spirit does?
Do
you think spirit does, or is it just our own divinity?
Spirit doesn't really lose that, but as expressions of spirit, as emissaries of spirit, we do forget.
Yeah, okay, that I really... So anyway, what I was hearing before was that whether or not we survive on the planet, we're gaining tremendously now, and that will continue. That's kind of what I was saying. You know, we still are gaining a lot, and it's really important not to be hooked on the leftovers from other lives and so on, because we've all been that, you know? You understand?
Yeah, well, I think that there's a lot of people here on this planet for different reasons. And some of them are here to sort of act out leftover, should we say, endings to other timelines? And so there's sort of the karmic thing that's going on. They can't let go of this because, you know, so-and-so did this to them. And they, you know,
So there has to be this,
or I owe something,
retribution,
yeah,
balance thing. Yeah,
but I think the question that keeps rolling through my mind is there an archetype for the evolutionary change? There's a lot of us pushing to become integrated within ourselves, to become the highest being we can be, right? And there is a move.
Yeah.
There is a move to wave that into the collective.
Yeah, I'm still. Don't really know how much or how far down the collective it will filter. I don't know that.
Well, you can't know that.
An individual journey,
right?
Well, what I'm saying is that the journey of the individual soul, who is focused on transcending the illusion of separation.
Your phone's
may
going
not
in
be in this lifetime, may not be the same as someone else's journey, and particularly the collective. So
okay,
yes.
So let me just say this. There is terms, these are simple terms, right? Called light workers, terms like star seeds, terms like indigo, terms like crystal. There's a lot of those things that are moving, from my understanding, collectively, not taking over 90% of the population, but collectively moving through the reality as we know it, right?
So you're saying that those terms are becoming more widely understood?
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. Or actually, as an intuitive, I see huge moves coming up through the collective. Huge waves, and even though it looks dire and absolutely impossible, there are some tremendous possibilities moving through. I see them in these like bright, sparkling lights and possibilities. There are possibilities rising through, and the number of people or the number of spirits that are connected to certain flows of it is growing. And Peter Calhoun, did you ever hear his paradigm shifter? And he was saying, from his visions, he thought that there were about 4.5 million people that were here. He thought about 4.5 million souls that were here to really push the collective. Now, this is different people saying different things. And I don't get numbers, but my guides are saying it's moving quite quickly. And you're going to see a big move right now. And it's up to us to be dropping off our attachment to what we did before in other lives. It's our business to do that right now so that we can resonate with one another in a fresher way, more of an innocent way, and move it, you know? Does that make sense?
I love that. Yeah,
and I asked you about the archetype because I was having a discussion before the radio show, and that's my thing, is we must have like an archetype from, I wasn't saying the fool, more like the magician or someone who knows how to make something out of nothing, more like that, that is kind of a collective motion going on right now. And I think it hooks up with many, many, many. And like Peter, I would never come up with a number, but he had a, as a priest, when he was awakened and he got all kinds of visions, that he came up with this huge awareness that around the world these beings were rising, and that was his number. That wasn't mine, but it's just good to make reference.
What's that percentage of the population then? If it's, what did you say, 4 million?
4.5 million, I think, is what he said. No, 400 million, that's what he said. And I don't know what the percentage is, but we've got 9 billion. Is that it? 9 billion? So it's like...
I thought it was 6. No.
All right, 6 billion.
Then. Very good.
My mathematics have deteriorated with my lack of interest in them. But
my only knowledge of mathematics is numerology right now.
but the thing about that, Aaliyah, is that it doesn't really matter what the percentage is. What it matters is, like, you have a really bright light. I have a really bright light. A lot of people have a really bright light that we know. And just being in the marketplace is a good way to. Remember the merchant priests, and they used to just sit quietly over in the market to make sure that there was some light being spread into the market and helping offset the greed, etc. And I go, we have, like, electrodes. We have the ability to radiate our light out there and kitsch one another and help others awaken, and they don't even know that you're there, right? So just that 400 million is a pretty big number when you think about dotting us around the world. I'm not blowing my own horn. I'm saying, here we are on the radio. Here we are sending light out there. Here we are connecting with people. Here we are hugging one another through our process. Here we are, you know, that's spreading all over the world. And I think because the dynamics of the world, the problems are so intense right now, so are our inner dynamics, so that radiance increases. What do you think of that?
Well, I think the reason why there's so much angst and dynamics that you're talking about is to provide contrast, so people can make a conscious choice. It has to come to the level of consciousness to choose something as opposed to something else.
I know, but I think that light can prompt consciousness awakening in people that might not be awakened enough to receive it. Do you see?
Yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned what you did, because I was walking to the beach this morning, and I was suddenly I had this vision of myself having, like, a container, not a container, but a field around me, like a circle or a globe that. Inside that globe is harmony. You know, it's just like this sense of emanating harmony around me as I pass through different areas of wherever I'm going to naturally walk, or and holding that consciousness as a way of, you know, intending my own journey. You know, it's like as I create harmony around me and hold harmony around me, then things have to resonate with that, rather than by default just going somewhere and, you know, catching the stray this or stray that, you know, emotions or thoughts or whatever. Because we are kind of like radio receivers and transmitters.
Yeah, so I think the transmitters, I'm just trying to, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the universal waves also move through us, and I think we can catch a wave if we're receptive. We can catch the higher frequencies as well and bring those through.
Absolutely, and I think that's the thing that really gives us a lot of hope, or should I say, but faith. To me, the faith comes in knowing that that's coming through anyway, and then just opening up to it, you know, in the best way I can. So it's like, I'm ready to catch that wave. Oh, by the way, the magician, the key word for the magician is attention.
Oh, really?
So the magician directs attention, like a false magician or an illusionist, redirects the attention of the audience away from his trick. So he performs a trick, he directs the attention of the audience to make him think that he's doing something that's truly magical. A real magician uses his attention as a tool. So he directs his attention consciously to create the world that he wants. Or in other words, he directs his attention toward the elements of his world that will resonate with his intention.
So you mean he directs the higher frequency energy to help awaken the people around him?
No, he creates his world, and then the world, he directs his attention, and then his attention through the law of harmony towards certain things that resonate in a certain vibrational state will then assemble worlds that reflect that vibrational state.
So that's the archetype of this time, would you say?
Absolutely. Of the ascended, it's the archetype of the conscious creative, the ascended master. So it's the person who is consciously creating.
What did I hear about master today? Oh, yeah, master is one who that's right, it was Matt Kahn. The master is when you think you're developing mastery, you get to be a master, which means that you're always blessing out there. And you're saying about the magician, always sending out to everyone you can imagine. You're doing it all the time. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Well, what it is, it's kind of like what Matt Kahn says. He calls it the love revolution. But what I say is that the word that comes closest to love in terms of being responsive rather than projective, you know, so in other words, you're responding to something, is this, and this is what you do first when you become a magician, you learn how to appreciate. You learn how to appreciate the elements in the world that hold a certain resonance for you. And when you appreciate, when you focus on those things and you direct your attention to those, you're actually recreating more of it by the law of resonance. So it brings more to you. And that's
so let's jump back into what we were talking about with the karmic stuff, the things that we might have done wrong and the things we're paying off and all that. If we follow the process that you just explained or Matt Kahn explains or my own guides explain or whatever, it's about getting conscious about what you're putting out there and not just following the old judgments that you've recorded within yourself, but knowing you can pole vault out of those with your intention.
A thought form draws its energy from the emotions that support it. And if you are withdrawing your emotions, meaning that you're no longer focusing on those emotions that support those thought forms, but you choose to appreciate, which means that you end up in a different vibrational reality. So you're withdrawing your energy that supports the thought forms. So if you don't focus on these things anymore, you're not emotionally focused on them, and the emotions is where that energy comes from.
But I laugh because I go, you know, sometimes people follow the old karmic stuff because they think they're doing their duty. So it's like
worth paying
attention to the fact that we're feeling a duty, and that can be neutralized or that can be changed when we catch on with our intention too. So people can be released tremendously.
Well, there's a wonderful thing from Thus Spake
Zarathustra.
And he talks about the camel, talks about thou shalt and the camel and the dragon and the child. And there's a kind of evolution between these, between understand a spiritual evolution between these three creatures. And we start first as a camel, and you think that you have to serve everyone. And that you know, so the camel gets loaded down with a lot of duties and obligations, social obligations. And this is the person who thinks that they've got to change the world and don't focus on themselves to change the world out there. So that's the camel. That's the first step. But then the next step is, I think it's the lion. And the lion, you know, reacts to things. And the last step is the child. And there's that return to innocence you're talking about.
I love that. Now, I'm going to talk about return to innocence. I promised a couple of people I would take them into the structures, so I better do at least a truncated duty-wise, because I promised I would do that. But thank you so much for tuning in, and it's been delightful spending some evolutionary time together.
Oh, I'd love to speak to you some more about what's happening in the world.
Yeah, let's do that. All right. Take care, Aaliyah. Thank you so much, darling. All right. Bye-bye. So let's create our, that was wonderful, wonderful conversation. I like it very much because I also am feeling a tremendous quickening going on at this point. And the quickening is for you and me to participate in what we came here to do, you guys. Let's do it. So in the meantime, let's call in the high frequency structures that we've created so often on this show, Radiance by Design. Above your head, about 2 miles, see a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop down a gold filament of light and have it go right through vertebrae by vertebrae by vertebrae, all the way through your body into the lower golden ball. And then from the upper golden ball, drop a three-sided gold pyramid and upside down another gold pyramid. And its point goes into the lower golden ball. And then create for yourself a crystal ball. The outside edges touch the inside edges of your pyramid. And inside of your crystal ball, there's a star tetrahedron. And see yourself in the star tetrahedron, like a three-dimensional star, five-pointed star, Star of David. And have it, I know Star of David's six-pointed, I don't want to go into that right now. Just see yourself as a three-dimensional star and you're inside of it and have it spin and spin and spin. As most of you know, it represents your Merkaba, your light body. Spin and spin and spin. And spin, and the first movie you're going to create on the magical screen in front of you is the movie of you becoming what it is you want to become. And just see yourself becoming, I want to be consciously multidimensional. It's coming. And when you become whatever it is you want to become, wrap that in light and move it over to the left. And the second screen is you creating something you want to create. And let's see yourself creating, I don't care if it's a home and family or a dog shelter or a book or a movie or a world travel, doesn't matter. See all the resources and all the pieces coming together to help create, that's it, to help create your goal, whatever it is you want. Good. And when everything comes together and you see your project coming to completion, then once again, give yourself a little hand, clap, 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 and then see all the resources coming together to keep that going. You want to have your project to go as long as it goes, and then wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and here's where I promised several of you that we would take you into the structures. Here's where we have the galactic healing center. First thing that happens in the healing center is we have a table, right? And then we have our call in, our multidimensional healing team. And have each member that shows up around your table to call in his healing team or her healing team. And the first person to lie on the table is you or me. Lay on that table and speak to these beings of love and light and amazing healing capacity and ask for all the help you need. Good. Now maybe you don't know what you need help for, so just ask them and they'll tell you. Good. And then wrap that in light when you think it's starting to go. And you can really feel there's a pulse of beautiful energy that starts happening. And you know that you're being worked on. So then when that starts, wrap it all in light, move it over to the left, and know that they'll continue that process of working with you. And then magically, talk about the magician, we have a fresh healing table. And our team replicates itself. And remember, each member of the team today has its whole healing team, which has its whole healing team, which has its whole healing team. And now I'm going to bring in, several people have talked about teeth lately, okay? And I remember the fellow I interviewed is a dentist, and he was talking about the laser influence on the teeth. And he was explaining very carefully how the teeth are the first product of the brain, the whole brain being developed. And it creates the patterns that create teeth right off the bat. So any problems with teeth have a lot to do with the brain. And as you know, the brain is the great computer for your whole nervous system. On the teeth, on the metaphorical base of pain and so on, the teeth represent self-worth and your foundations, right? So let's bring in people. There are several people coming in right now. I've got 5 tables of beings that have some tremendous problems with their teeth, right? Another thing I read recently is many people in my vintage, a long time ago, we went through some tremendous dental work, and it was very, very painful and very, very traumatic. And not like today, the high-speed stuff and the needles that are so smooth. I remember being absolutely bruised by needles that went in and out, and my teeth were always bad, and we didn't even eat sugar much at all. It wasn't that. It was some whatever. So what I read was that there's a kind of a PTSD. There's a huge trauma related to dental trauma. So for a lot of us, think about the brain, right? For a lot of people, we need to sort of release that trauma in order to support the new foundation of your teeth. Whether you actually have teeth left or not, some of you are way younger and you might have just great teeth, but I want you to look for the connection between your foundations of self and your brain and what happened as your teeth were created. And how you might want to. We're all talking about how we're changing our deep and cellular foundation, right? So we're going to go in, and the teams are have their hands around the brain. They're radiating, irradiating the brain, and I see the whole central nervous system being irradiated. They're showing these skeletons on each of the tables, where they're showing brightness on various. See, every tooth relates to where your nerve flows go to various parts of your body. I think a lot of you know that. So that, I don't even remember which tooth is where, but you can look that up. So what they're showing me are these beautiful golden lights from the brain back down to the teeth. And from the teeth, they're showing the lines, the nerve lines, going to various vertebrae in the body. So it's a very interesting system, and you might even be feeling that. So where you've got, or where people on the table have specific tooth problems, they're going back into the brain, irradiating the brain. That's it. Irradiating the brain. Excellent. And then following that radiance into the roots of the teeth, and following down and soothing the nerves as they go into various vertebrae. If this is too complicated for you, just feel the presence of the guides and running the energies through your entire spine system. And for a lot of people, that's going to work on certain organs and limbs, isn't it? I think somebody said Adele Davis died of, Adele Davis, who was a real guru about nutritional, she was an amazing nutritional expert, and then she died in the 50s of cancer, and she had some big problem in her knee, and they finally tracked it down to a problem in her tooth. And because people, you know how people are, people are a bit cruel, they made fun of her that she had died. Glory, what a group we are. So back in, we're going back in, and the teams are irradiating the sides of the skulls now. Now, all the way through the brain again, and right into the brainstem. And now they're working on the brainstem, and I'm seeing how, with their amazing light, how they're sending light into the jaws. There we are. And the whole nervous system. And all the way down the spine again. And now let's wrap each one of those in light and move them over to the side. Yeah, let's move them over to the side. Now let's see who else is going to come in. Let's create a fresh table. And once again, oh, okay, so they're saying you want to work on dementia. Alrighty, so we're bringing in, there's somebody coming, it's a woman, no, there's two people coming in. One is a woman, and she has a lot of, she's had a lot of, she must have had an accident or something, because the right side of her face has been damaged. But there's also tremendous memory problems going on in her brain, and she's very worried about it. So she's come in. And there's a fellow here who's literally, what did I hear recently? That there are people who have some kind of executive disorder, so that even though they did a lot of amazing things in their lives, as they get older, sometimes they can't function in dealing with paperwork and some of the stuff that they did before. And there's someone else who has just straight up dementia, which I would explain. It's kind of hard to, it's like there's a whole bunch of interactions in the brain that are shutting down. I don't understand what that is, but I don't have to be a physiologist here. I'm an intuitive. So we'll have our teams replicate themselves around these three beings with three different types of dementia. Yeah. Now let's just see. We're going to irradiate the brain past this injury this person had. Okay, so there are two things. They're showing this, that in her brain there was a huge impact. I think it was an accident or something many years ago. And the trauma, there we are. So they're moving the energy through so that the trauma that kind of froze down parts of her brain. Yeah. And they're running energy through the parts of the brain that have been numbed down. There we are. And there's a lot of heat in and around that they're showing. The other thing they're doing with her is radiating the base of her spine, another ganglia, so that the energy runs right up through the spine. The other person's, let me see, what did I say? That the second one was, I know the third one is just, oh yeah, this one of them has a kind of dementia that comes from being an executive that's been overworked, and because of pressure, they're saying here, because of the pressure in his brain, he suddenly has just completely lost it. Your system gets a little more frail as you get older, and he suddenly lost it, and he shut down certain file folders in the brain, and they're just trying to, I see two of the healing team doing strong pressure points for him. That's right, strong pressure points. Good. And in both cases, the other one as well, is there's, because we have to be done here, there's a huge numbness in the other brain, and we're moving so many energy flows. There we are, because I'm going to have to be done here. What they're doing is putting their hands around both brains so that the energy flows can be reinvigorated. Remember, we can do that with energy. You can, they can, and we're going to wrap both of those in light and move them over to the side where those healing teams, which remember are really multi-level tonight, are going to work away on them. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, what an interesting show it's been for me to participate in tonight. Thank you so much for your calls, Patty and Aaliyah, and for the rest of you that are out there paying attention and building the fields and frequencies along with us. Because I'll tell you what, times of change are at hand, and you are really important. Remember to build your light, build your field and frequency, and remember your contribution, your dharma in the collective is very, very valuable. Don't let anything stop you. Email me, if you will, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com or veronicaentwistle.com, my website. Love to hear from you. And if you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels, let me know. Much love. Thank you so much for listening. Good night.